Let's get ready to rumble!
The featured event of the evening.
The hard-hitting and the undefeated.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome.
First, ladies and gentlemen, with a record of 29 wins, no losses.
Boxing fans, are you ready?
Well, good morning, Central. And greetings to all of you who are part of the online today. So glad that I could be a part of the team and continue to carry forth the word of the Lord. And as we're in this series on verses, today I'm going to talk about the importance of Scripture. As I have been thinking about this message, I have just thought about the number of times that I worked really hard to try to get a point across or to try to communicate something. I go back especially when I was in my 30s and how much I would work and try to figure out exactly how to communicate, you know, God's word. And as I've aged, I have learned that God's word speaks for itself. I don't have to try to impress you with it today. I don't have to try to figure out how to say it all correctly. I'm just going to allow Scripture to speak for itself, because in this verses series, this boxing match in our world that's going on, I would tell you that the secularistic view, the one that Craig just said is growing so much in our American culture and around the world, is this view that Scripture is just irrelevant. In fact, I'm so sure today of the power of Scripture, I'm going to let the boxing gloves actually be in the hands of society. They need it. Because Scripture speaks for itself, doesn't need me to put gloves on it, doesn't need me to figure out how to best do it. This is what society says. That book that I'm about to preach from is irrelevant. It was written so long ago, no longer applies. So today, all I'm going to do, and in my 30 plus years of teaching, I've never just basically read Scripture and let it speak for itself. I don't have to dress it up. I don't have to paint it. I don't have to turn it into an artistic set. All those things can be nice and they can add to it, but Scripture speaks for itself. If you're here today and you're 9 or 10, and you say to yourself, I don't understand it. Today, I want you just to follow along with me and see if Scripture makes sense to you. You're kind of in this verses place. Maybe there are students in here today. You're 17, 18, 19, 23, and you're going, I don't know. I'm not sure. I do think, you know, Dan's old too, so maybe he just doesn't get it anymore, because I don't know that Scripture really teaches the things I need to know. Listen. Just listen. And you're not going to hear my opinion. I'm going to try to break these verses down. I'm going to tell you what they mean. But all I'm going to do is verse by verse, just allow the Word of God to come up on the screen. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to set it up, and I'm going to explain to what you're seeing in these verses, but it'll tell you the story itself. This is a story of Paul in Athens. He arrives at Athens because he's spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus, okay? The message of Christ is just getting started. This is in Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 16. If you have your Bible, open it up. If you do it on your phone, bring it up. Acts 17, verse 16. I'm just going verse by verse, something that you can do in your house too. One of the goals of this message is that you would go home and you would say, oh my goodness, I don't have to hear a preacher. God's word can speak to me on its own. Weak, but it's applause. Paul had been taken to the town of Athens in Corinth because he was being chased for preaching the gospel. So it would be like me being in Grand Rapids last night and I was preaching on the street corners and somebody heard it and there was a big group, a mob that got together to come find me. And a buddies of mine collected me, put me in a car and drove me over to Highland and said, hey, stay here till we can meet up with you. That's what happened in this verse. So right up to verse 16, Paul has been running. because there was a mob who was going to take his life. He wanted to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus. He was hanging out in Athens, and he had left word with two people, Timothy and Silas. He said, get to me when you can in Athens, and we'll continue the journey of preaching the gospel. That's the setup for what happens as we begin to read Acts chapter 17, verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. So let's get the setting. And by the way, Scripture is going to stay up on the screen. I've asked today that it just stay there because I want you to see it. I want you to refer to it. I want you to see its power in itself. So Paul's walking around Athens making observations. He's got the message in his heart and his mind about Jesus, this man who came, died, rose again the third day. And he's walking around Athens, and there are gods everywhere. In fact, Nero, one of his writers, said that there were so many gods in Athens that you would find a god quicker than you would find a person. They had statues built to unknown gods. They had calves here. They had this particular thing over there. Kind of reminds me, I don't remember what it was, but I remember a few years ago, downtown Holland had this pig thing. So where the pigs were everywhere. Just remember those ceramic pigs painted? I don't know what they were made out of, maybe ceramic. They were painted and put out everywhere. Kind of like that. You walk there, pig there, pig there, pig there. That's the way it would have been in Athens. God here, God there. Oh, God over there, God up there. And Paul, looking at all that, the Word of God says, he got distressed. In other words, he was burdened for the lostness of the people. He saw that they were wandering around without a shepherd. In other words, they didn't know what they were doing. And Paul got distressed by that, and it weighed on him. I would just ask you the opening question related to that verse. How long has it been since you were just distressed and thought to yourself, I've got to speak into what I see going on in our culture and in this world with the love and the godly news of Jesus Christ? A group of people, Epicureans and Stoics, philosophers, both of them, began to debate with Paul. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others said, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about the Jesus and the resurrection. So here's Paul walking around town, and there's two big groups that are alive in that day. We're going way back in history. I want to see if it's come into 2022, okay? Way back in history, there were a group of people called the Epicureans. They believed that the sole purpose of life, the whole end game of life, is to make myself pleasured. You pick it. Sexually, owning stuff, having this, having that. All of the comfort I can find in life. My whole goal is to set myself up to be satisfied. Is that group alive today? Do you ever hear any particular group in our world that seems to be on this side of the boxing ring saying things like this? I've got my rights. I can do what I want to do. My, I. Screams at us. And this group of people says, Scripture is so irrelevant. Look, it's all about me. Athens is no different than our day. Another group of people, the Stoics, known for their stoicness. They believed that everything was a god. The universe is God. Pantheistic view. The latest way that's brought into our society these days is you'll hear people say, I'm pansexual, meaning everything goes. I'm just good with anything. I'm so above everything else. It's like, I'm so amazing. And the Stoics believe, well, I'm God. This is God. That's God. This is God. That's God. This is God. Everything's God. God is everything. Sounds so good. Sounds so inclusive. And Paul is looking going, wow, I'm going to bring a message that says there was a man, single person, named Jesus, who came into this world and he died and he rose again the third day. I'm bringing this message to these people that go, oh no, you got to be all inclusive. And Paul must have been thinking, it's going to be a battle. I'm going to bring truth of what Jesus did. In fact, the word says they called him a babbler. Who is this babbler and what's he trying to say? Let me illustrate that. So the best way to describe it were if birds, a pigeon, it's perfect, pigeon in our town. You go somewhere to eat, whatever, there's that pigeon kind of flies up, just picks up the scraps. Here's a little scrap here, a scrap there, a scrap there. What they meant by the babbler was, he's a guy who brings scrappy little words to us. It's not really important compared to what we know. I mean, we know everything. I mean, after all, we are really, you know, we're really brilliant. And we see everything so much better than you little babblers. Paul was up against two groups that I think we're up against today. And it's not mine and your battle. It's Jesus' battle. His word is speaking for itself, going, oh yeah, they're still around. And they would have looked and said, he seems to be advocating for some foreign god. It made no sense. It would be like this morning if I said to you, hey, everybody, we're going to do things a little different this morning. I've decided that I want to share with you a new message, something the Lord gave into my heart last night. He woke me up from my sleep and gave me a message that we're going to become a church that starts worshiping these microphones and stands. This is our God now. And I'm asking all of you to come up and kind of lay hands and touch and just bow down before it, etc. You in this room would look at me and go, he's going to be teaching here? This is crazy. Right. So just as crazy as that would be to you, this message Paul was bringing to them was equally as crazy. They were used to worshiping this. There's a man came and died and rose again. Are you stinking kidding me? Rise from the dead? This guy's crazy. This would have made a lot more sense to them because they can touch it and feel it, speak into it, gather around it. So this seemed to be the true God, and Paul is like, no. No, I came to share a message with you, Corinth, and you're probably not going to want to hear it because you're on that side of the boxing ring and you think I'm a fool. But Paul wrote the message that today, hundreds of years later, I'm bringing to you. And the reason I'm able to bring it is because it's God's word. This group comes and goes. They may look like Romans and Greeks one year. They may look like some other group one year. They may look like Americans one year. But all I know is this steady word does not change. Always speaks to whatever group is on that side of the corner. So Paul was then taken. Verse 19, to the meeting of the Areopagus. And they said, may we know what this new teaching is that you're sharing with us? You've been bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we'd like to know what it means. All the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about the latest ideas. This makes me laugh because it's just so relevant. Anybody who says that scripture isn't relevant, read that verse. It's our world. The Areopagus, okay? These were the brilliant thinkers. So I propose a question to you. Pastor Craig, very intelligent, way more intelligent than me. Sometimes I sit with him, I go, I don't get it. He's just intelligent. So I take him today. And I said, Greg, need to do a little road trip with you. There's this place, it's up in Massachusetts. It's a little school. School's called Harvard. I'm going to take you to Harvard. In this one room at the school, there's a room where they all meet and they have a think tank. They just sit and think about life. I'm going to take you there, Craig. And I'm going to ask you to go in this room at Harvard University, and I'm going to put you at a seat along with a bunch of other thinkers, and I want you to share the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And then I want you to see if you can get this campus to proclaim that Jesus is Lord and Savior, died and rose again on the third day. I want you to see if you can get this campus to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Paul walked into Athens, I think Pastor Craig would say, this is quite a task. Because the thinkers of our day listen to the message of the gospel of good news in Jesus and they go, that's so silly. What's wrong with you that you would think that's truth? Students in here, I'm telling you today, I'm not trying to convince you anything. I'm showing you that history repeats itself. Culture after culture after culture will continue to repeat itself. There might be a cycle where the good news of the gospel of Jesus rises again and is the cornerstone of much of our world or much of our nation. There might be that moment, but I'm telling you, life cycles through. People begin to worship other foreign gods. Society trickles down, and it usually trickles down to this side that says God and Scripture is irrelevant. And I want you to know the God that we serve, the God that Paul preached about. Listen, Paul was not preaching himself. Paul was not saying, follow me. Paul was saying, follow Jesus of Nazareth. This world says, follow me. Do what I say. We'll give you power. We'll give you control. We'll be in control of everything. And at the end of that, there's so much emptiness. And what I'm trying to say to you today is this unchanging, holy word speaks life into souls. The Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It will pierce into your spirit and it will cleanse your life. And Paul took that message to all these great thinkers and they were like, we just like to hear new ideas. They had no interest in actually changing. They wanted to be entertained. Does it sound like the church in our day? Entertain me. Make me feel like I matter by doing something. Put on a show. God's word does not need a show. God's word pierces lives and hearts. Verse 22, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and he said this. This is probably because I'm a preacher, because I love what I get to do. I love this. Paul stands up in the meeting at the boardroom at Harvard University. He stands up and says, people of Athens, love it. He had no shame in what he believed because it wasn't based on his ideas. It was based on what he had seen, what he had heard, the resurrection of Jesus. Today, these aren't my ideas. I'm telling you the story that Paul wrote down because he was there. I'm just telling you. He looked at the people of Athens and he said, I see in every way. Look how tricky he is. Watch this. He said, I see in every way that you are religious. He's setting them up because they would have heard that and went, yeah. We're amazing. And Paul's like, you're religious, but you're not going to like where I go with this. You're worshiping things, and you're really good at it. I walked around your town, verse 23, and I looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar, as I said earlier, with the unknown God. You're ignorant of the very thing you worship. And that is what I'm going to proclaim to you today. Paul had walked around Athens and he had seen the way society and culture was worshiping false gods. And he now had a chance to speak it into the leaders of the town. So in preparation for this message, I pondered, if I was brought to Holland, Michigan today, knew nothing about this town, knew nothing about West Michigan, just brought and dropped here, what would I say about the people here? Somebody who moved into our town last night, doesn't know anything about us. They walk the streets of Holland, walk them all day today. What would be their observation about our town? We don't have idols of calves. We had those pigs a few years ago. We don't have idols made out of gold. We don't have people stopping and kneeling down to worship and touch some gold calf. We don't have that. But I propose to you that we have gods in this town. I propose to you that some of us have fallen in line to worship those gods. I'm going to give just a couple of them to you that this week, thanks to giftedness around me, I can have people speak into my life and help me see things that are a part of our town that sometimes I don't even see. One of the gods of this town, one of the gods you may be trapped by, is the god of appearance. We look right. Our family looks right. And if there is some crap back in the back, we cover it up with a picture. We worship sometimes at the feet of appearance. You know, when I was youth pastor here at Central Wesleyan, my kids were all young, 10 down to 1. I didn't know how my family appearance would be broken by the time I stood here at the age of 62. It's been shattered. Jane and I sat the other night at a table at a restaurant, and the family next to us did not know us, didn't know I was sitting there. My back was to them, and I heard them talking about our brokenness. Seaborns, they're this, 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 and this, and the whole time I'm going, yep, 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 yep. Broken. We don't have a picture-perfect family. And it could make you feel like you don't fit in anymore. This town spends a lot of money to look good. This town spends a lot of money to put on a false face. Chasing a god that in the end will fall apart. We have beautiful homes. We mow our yards at angles. I do. We trim things. We clean things up. We shine things. We wax our cars. All in the name of fitting in. And sometimes I would tell you fitting in becomes more important than serving the one true God. Another god I see in our town is the god of security. I don't know how many times I've thought to myself, what if all the zeros were taken away from the bank accounts of people who live in our West Michigan area? We pray a prayer. We pray a prayer. The prayer says this, give us this day our daily bread. I would tell you in our area, we add to that prayer, give us this day our daily bread plus a little surplus. Because the surplus makes me comfortable. We watched this week as people who share our nation get their houses plowed under by a 20-foot wall of water, and some security is bashed away. And you find out what your foundation better be on, because the Epicureans of our day who chase the zeros and the pleasure and the comfort and the, I just want to be in a place where I'm secure and comfortable, peaceful, and have a big old blanket around me and there's no chance of the blanket ever being ripped away. Oh, that's the goal of life. Not according to Scripture. Jesus said, let me teach you to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me just ask the question honestly, seriously, somebody who you know in Holland, if they really lived day to day, like only had enough food for this day and wake up in the morning, trust that God would provide them the food they need for that day, we would call them in this town crazy. They're just living out what Jesus, because you understand Jesus walked around, lived there today. He did not have a bank account. He did not have security. He did not have a bunch of extra blankets. He would sometimes have to go, can I go over to your house tonight? Thank you. Paul in Athens walking around. I don't even know where I'm going to sleep tonight. Thank God I got these couple of buddies that are taking me in. That's the way they lived, and they seemed pretty peaceful. Is it possible our security has become our God? I leave today to go out and get in a vehicle sitting in the parking lot. It's a nice vehicle. It's nice. If it was gone, would I still be solid? Would I still be strong in my faith for God? Scripture is very relevant for 2022. Paul begins to tell this group he's talking to who God really is. Listen to this. Listen how foreign this would have been. The God who made the world and earth and everything in it is the Lord of heaven, the Lord of earth, and does not live in temple built by human hands. Wow, that would have knocked them off their stools. Your God today in 2022, Central Wesleyan and beyond, is a God who is alive. He's not built into these walls. He's built into our soul and into our spirit. He is alive today. We need to understand He is our God and He is over everything. He is in control of everything. You don't have to walk around like, well, I'm uncertain, I'm secure. Put your feet on the foundation of God Almighty. He is steady. He is strong. And Paul continues to say that. He says this, from one man He made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundary of their lands. Paul right there says, anything that has ever happened, God is in charge of it. Anything that ever will happen, God is in charge of it. I had someone ask me this week. They're in their 20s. Dan, why'd God allow a hurricane to hit Fort Myers? I pondered. I thought when I was 30, I would have shot out a quick answer and looked pretty stupid. Now at 62, I ponder a bit. And I said to this person, there are some details of life I cannot answer to and speak to. I just don't understand it because it's so much further and deeper than I can see. I said to this 20-year-old, but I'll tell you this. Everything that happens in life, including hurricanes, is an opportunity for you to experience God at a deeper level and understand His power, His significance, and His self-sustainability. That's how I answered it. And I'm going to say today to somebody in here who's going through a situation in your life that is so stinking bad this morning, and you'd love to walk up and say to me, why'd this happen? I would respond to you by saying, I don't know. But I know that it's an opportunity for you to know God's love for you deeper. I stand here today having been through a lot of brokenness. If you had taken me back to my youth pastor days here and said, here's the journey you're going on, I would have said, I want to bail out. Sitting here today, my feet are on more of a solid foundation. I am more sure than ever that God sees me. I am more steady in knowing he is not out there untouchable and not thinking about me, because I wouldn't have made it to this place without his sustaining power. God is self-sustaining. I said that this at the Night of Hope. He doesn't need us, but he still desires relationship with us. Nothing you do today will make God go, oh, now I'm good. See, that's not true for you. There are some of you in here today, most of you in here today, if we were walking out together and I looked and I said, oh, you really wore that to church today, and then walked away from you, you'd be going like, what's wrong with this? Insecure. You don't look at God. This group of people sitting on this side of the verses table says to him, you're not really there. You don't care about nobody. Look what you did to Fort Myers. God is not up in heaven going, oh, I better do something to show him. God's good. No, you're too shallow. You're not seeing a bigger picture. Try sliding to the right a little bit. Get to know me. Spend a little time with me. You will understand that those circumstances you go through in life are actually drawing you to a depth, because at the end of this life, you're passing away anyway. I'm just prepping you for it, because you're going to an eternity, an eternity with me, the one I sent my son down to save you for. And you need to know, if you're over there just ripping on me day after day, God in heaven goes, I'm good. He's not sweating his children not liking him. A good parent in this room doesn't sweat it when your kids don't like you because you're trying to guide them in the right direction. And Paul is speaking to a group of people who do not like his message. So far, I'm guessing a few of them are turning going, who invited him? I don't like what he's saying. He might just be babbling, but these little crumbs are starting to get to me. He goes on to say, appointed the times in history, the boundaries of the lands. I thought how practical and appropriate this is this Sunday morning when Vladimir Putin just reassigned and re-annexed some lines of Russia and said, well, now we own this territory and this territory. Now, Ukraine, we're taking you over here and here and here. And according to God's word, God already knew those lines were going to be redrawn. He is the one in control of that. Listen, I'll say it this way. God's in charge of whoever's in charge. And he has a purpose and a plan that in the end we're going to get. I think in heaven we were going to be like, oh, got it. We think so humanly. We think so temporal. Vladimir Putin is not in charge. God is. And I'll bet you this morning, there are people over there in Russia and Ukraine, whether they were annexed or not, let me tell you something, they're worshiping God Almighty this morning. They're not worshiping some man, they're worshiping God Almighty. God sees that. Somebody there this morning is being drawn closer to the Almighty God. Why did God do all this stuff? This next verse is so stinking powerful, it's unbelievable. Look at verse number 27. God did, like, it's like Paul answered, like, you know, well, why God allow all this stuff? Why does God do this? Oh, okay. Verse 27, God did this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. I just said to you, whatever you're going through, if it's drawing you toward God, no matter how horrible it is, if it's drawing you toward Jesus, wow, praise God. Because your goal is to get so close to him that when you die and go to heaven, it's just a little shift. I remember my mother in her dying days said to me, oh, Dan, I'm so disconnected from what this world offers. I'm becoming more and more connected to what God has. I'm just headed the right direction. I ask you this morning, are you headed the right direction? is the view of a world that says, but, like somebody listening this morning online, some student here, some better thinker than me. There are people in this room, probably most of you are far more intelligent than me. You would have a question, but what? Okay. At the end of all your buts, at the end of all your questions, I probably would have to look at you and say, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I'm not sure. I'm not smart enough to answer that question. I'm just telling you, based on history, based on the fact that this man named Paul hung out with people who saw all this stuff happen, and he passed a message on and he wrote it in Scripture, I'm able in 2022 to open up my Bible to the book of Acts, which Paul wrote, and I'm able to read some verses to you. I'm going to believe these verses because it seems they made a difference lifelong in people's lives, and there were men and women who were willing to sacrifice everything they had, even live day by day. I believe that those people had a calling and a purpose. I want to know the end of that story for me too. You get to choose. See, used to, in my 30s, I'd try to convince you right now. No effort to do that at all. You get to pick. Do I want that or do I want that? Your call, because it's verses. It's your call. He went on to say, in him we live and we move and we have our being. As some of your own poets, he quoted their own poets, say, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think the divine being is gold or silver or anything like this that you can worship. An image made out of human design. Then he says in verse 30, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. That's because Jesus sent his son into this battle ring. And he said to him, Jesus, I want you to go in the battle ring. There's this big old battle brewing, the versus battle. I want you to get the middle. I want you to give a left hook knockout punch to Satan. I want you to drop him on the canvas and let people know, I have overcome. Paul said, in the past, you had to do it with sacrificing lambs. In the past, you had to do it by a certain list of rules. You had to make sure you didn't eat this. You had to make sure you did that. But once Jesus came in and put that knockout punch, no longer does mankind have to be able to say, well, I'm kind of ignorant of all that stuff. Nope, I sent Jesus. You have no excuse. Today, as you hear the message, you're responsible for it. It falls on your shoulders to either say, I'm going to go over there, or I'm going to make my path down from here to live in this world. It's your call. It's up to you. Verse 31, Paul said, because there's a day set now where you're going to be judged by this man he appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Look at the next verse. Get ready. Verse 32. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, get ready, some of them sneered. This message, if it gets posted, somebody will sneer. Silly message. He even a couple times he even looked. Did you guys look at him while he was preaching? He actually looked angry. I'm motivated. I'm fired up to preach the gospel. I've never enjoyed preaching like I enjoy preaching today, because we live in a world of Epicureans and Stoics. And I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not called to make people who sit in this side happy. I'm not called to make them feel, oh yeah. No, I'm called to challenge us all to analyze our life, look at our gods, check out our status, and say, which side am I sitting on? Am I in the middle? Or do I really believe in this man named Jesus? You're here and you're 9. I see a couple of young boys right here. I see some young kids around. Think about what you believe. You get to decide. Your parents don't decide what you believe. You do. You students in the room, you're going to go in some classrooms who would call what I just did this morning foolishness. Okay. Okay. It's your call. I say to you, I believe the Word of God spoke in some hearts this morning. Because when you just see it for what it is, you're like, wow. And some of them, it says, wanted to know more on the subject. I hope that's you. And I hope you'll pick up your own word at home and go, I'm going to keep reading that. I'm going to keep looking at what happened in this story. Go check it out. It'll speak to you. It'll pull you into the story. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If you leave here and zeros are still your security, okay. If making your family still look perfect is your goal, okay. Mine's shattered. Mine has issues. I'm good. Because I'm God's kid. At the end of my life, I don't answer to you. I answer to God Almighty. End of your life, you don't answer to your neighbors. They want you to sometimes with that fence and stuff. End of your life, you answer to God. He said he appointed a day, so he'll pick it. Let me tell you what really, let me tell you how much control you really have over it all. Let me show you. So life is about submission. The older I get, the more I realize life is about surrender. I'm trying to learn that. I don't like it. I fight it. But every time I surrender, I'm more peaceful. I'm going to ask you guys to change the song. God, I need you now. We sang earlier. Will you do that? And I'm going to just open the altar a moment. You know, when I drove on campus today, sorry, Alec, you good with that? Change keys. You can have whatever you need, man. Thanks, dude. When I drove on campus this morning, I always drive around the church and pray around the church, just to pray a circle around the church. When I hit the ring road, I just felt like God laid on my heart, I'm going to do a little something different this morning. And I'm not trying to create something here. Nothing's happened. I just know I'm supposed to open the altar right now. I didn't do this first service. And I'm going to ask them to sing, God, I need you now. And I'm just going to let you come and kneel. This altar's open. Alec, after we sing this song through, if you would close in prayer. I won't drag it out because you're not like God. You're needy and you're hungry. But I am going to pause here to say you need to take a next step. Some of you need to go out when we're done here and go out in the lobby and find a way to get connected to some, re-engage for your marriage, something. But if we keep doing this thing called church and we just walk in and walk out, that's a good sermon. I'd rate that about 6. I really don't care what you rate the sermon. I hope you heard God's word because it speaks for itself. And I hope something will change in your life. That your kids and grandkids will go, something changed that day. So, those of you in the balcony, I'm going to wait for you if you'd like to come and kneel. But let's pause. It's 11:59, so we got some little time here to play with. And honestly, I'm not going to rush it anyway. So, if God's spoken to you this morning about anything in your life, or you're just going through some crap, and you want to come and pray. That's awesome. Bless you guys. Bless you. Bless you. Wow. I haven't even said stand and people are coming. That's sweet. God's word speaks. If it spoke to you this morning, come and kneel and pray. Give your stuff to him. I'm going to have you stand because it's just easier for someone in the middle of the row to get out. Make it easy, like stand with your knees against the back of the seat so people can walk after they want to come out. stand, if you will. Those of you in the balcony, walk down here if you'd like to. Or just walk and stand in the middle of the balcony, or stand where you are. You don't have to come down here for the Spirit to move. I get that. He's not in human buildings. He's in hearts. So if the Lord has spoken to you today, would you come sing along in this little God, I need you now. Alec, go for it. Lead us. Come and kneel if you'd like to bring any issue to the Lord today. Somebody, you're a prayer warrior, you love to pray with people. Will you just come and pray with those who are by themselves? Just continue to worship. I won't interrupt this, but just pray for those who come and kneel. Others of you, come if the Lord's speaking to you. If you want to be dismissed, you can. We're just going to let the Spirit flow here for a moment. So keep singing, Alec. Thank you. Standing on your words, what we're actually standing on, because you've been so faithful over the years. And again, this morning, you used these verses written long ago to pierce our hearts and souls. We are reminded we are not in control. You are. We kneel at this altar to give you ourselves, our burden, our issues. We lay them at your feet. And I ask this morning you would just reign supreme. We would remember that you went in that ring and with your left hand jab, you put a punch onto Satan that he will never overcome. You won over death and the grave, and that was including us. And so we thank you, God, this morning. Help us as we continue to live our lives. Paul was running for his life when he preached this message. How appropriate that it feels like sometimes we run for our life. And so remind us, you walk with us. You are with us this morning. You sustain us. And we love you today. We give you this time in Jesus' name. And how we're going to close is I'm going to ask them to sing that through one more time. You're dismissed. You may leave. You want to stand and just worship. Just let His Spirit do whatever work in your heart He needs to do. The altar will continue to be open, but let's just finish our time this morning worshiping the Lord God Almighty. Thank you for coming. Be here next week. Corey will speak, but just I want you to let the Spirit just work in your life in these last little moments. Continue to pray, and you guys continue to lead us in worship. Things in scripture sometimes it would talk about how His Spirit just lingered. People would stay around the temple because His Spirit was lingering. That's what I sense this morning. It's not trying to create something. I just sense the Lord's not done. And you know, I'm not in a hurry. That's another thing that would be a god of our society is busyness. We need to linger sometimes. So I invite you to linger. I invite you guys just to sing another little song of worship. You pick it, Alec. Just a little song of worship. You can keep singing the same one. I just want to linger a minute. I'm in no hurry this morning. I'm enjoying just being in the presence of the Lord. I think there are people walking out right now. He's speaking to them. They're getting in their car and they're trying to figure out what hit them. The Word of God sliced into some little corner of their life, you know, and it's easy when that happens to go, what is this? This is weird. Lord, I pray there would be no weirdness to it, that they would go, wow, all He did pretty much is read scripture and it gripped my heart, because You are the one who can do that. And as we linger in Your presence, go with those who have already walked out, speak to them, call them to You. Bring them to full salvation in You. Help them to stop listening to the foolishness of this world and believe in the power of what Your Word says. I thank You for these two little boys I've been noticing all morning sitting there. They've just been listening. Shoot, at that age, I couldn't even sit still. So I thank You, Lord, that they were able to just listen. Let what's happening here just dwell in their hearts forever. why I'm preaching at this age, because at that age he spoke to me. So maybe there's a couple of little preachers there. Because I'm dying, we need more preachers to come on. You got a little song, Alec, we can just sing. These people don't seem to be in a hurry. This morning we're proclaiming your name. We're just worshiping you. We don't really have an agenda here. It's just fun to linger in your spirit. And we pray that you would just be with us. You'd watch over our day. So many of us rush and hurry. I do too. Just fun to take a second, unplanned second of our life and just go, yeah, this is what it's about. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your lingering presence. Watch over us and guard us in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for hanging out a little bit. Bless you as you go. Be peaceful. Be safe. Bless your day.